Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 9. In this chapter, we have the visit of the Queen of Sheba to Jerusalem to see King Solomon, as well as a further description of the wisdom and wealth of King Solomon. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue. Camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God. Because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore he made you king over them, to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon, who brought gold from Ophir, brought algum wood and precious stones. And the king made walkways of the algum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers. And there were none such as these seen before in the land of Judah. Now King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, with some background notes. The visit of the Queen of Sheba to Jerusalem in order to meet with King Solomon must have been quite a sight in the ancient world. The Queen of Sheba was probably the ruler of the Sabaeans, who are mentioned as early as the book of Job in the Bible. The Sabaeans lived in southern Arabia. And so the Queen of Sheba traveled at least 1,200 miles by camel to visit King Solomon. Verse 1 says that she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions. And it says that she came to Jerusalem having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. What a sight this must have been. Most likely, the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame from traders who traveled throughout the known world at that time. We read about the traders of Sheba in Ezekiel chapter 27. So when we read in verse 1 that the Queen of Sheba shared with King Solomon all that was on her heart, and then in verse 12 that Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she requested, there may have been some trade agreements that were involved in this official meeting. The gold from Ophir and the algum trees apparently came from the Queen of Sheba's area of control. Now, there are some extra-biblical sources that claim that the Queen of Sheba's visit to King Solomon lasted 6 months, and during that time, she and King Solomon had relations, which resulted in a son being born when the Queen of Sheba returned home. This son later became King Menelaus of Ethiopia. Some of these sources go further and claim that when Solomon met King Menelaus, he sent the Ark of the Covenant back to Ethiopia for safekeeping and made a replica of the Ark of the Covenant for the temple because he realized it was only a matter of time before Israel would be conquered by her enemies. There are some folks who believe that even to this day, the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia, kept under lock and key and secret. How much of these extra-biblical claims are true, if any, we cannot say. The Bible is silent about these matters. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Doctrinal point number one, the Queen of Sheba is typical of the church in her wonder and worship. The Queen of Sheba is typical of the church in her wonder and worship. When the Queen of Sheba arrived in Jerusalem, she was awestruck. She had heard of the fame of Solomon, verse 1, but now she saw it with her own eyes, verses 3 and 4. And then the Queen of Sheba makes that classic statement, the half has not been told, verses 5 and 6. You know, that will be the response of the church when we're with the Lord in glory and realize the greatness of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The half has not been told. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. So the Queen of Sheba is typical of the church in this way. The Queen of Sheba did not actually worship King Solomon, but her honor and praise of Solomon and giving gifts to Solomon is certainly part of the type or spiritual picture of the church's response in wonder and worship of the true king. Right now, we are like the Queen of Sheba before she came to Jerusalem. She had only heard of the glories and greatness of King Solomon. But she believed the reports by faith. And then she met King Solomon face to face and saw that all the reports that she had accepted by faith were true, including the reports about his kind treatment of his happy servants. In the same way, we have believed by faith the reports of our Lord as written in his word. In a coming day, we will see him face to face and acknowledge that all the reports in the scripture are true reports. The Lord is truly a great and glorious and gracious King. And we will be filled with wonder and worship for the King forever. The Queen of Sheba is typical of the church in her wonder and worship. Doctrinal point number two, King Solomon is typical of Christ in his wealth and wisdom. King Solomon is typical of Christ in his wealth and wisdom. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, besides what the traveling merchants and traders brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had six steps with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the six steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. So he reigned over all the kings from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. And they brought horses to Solomon from Egypt and from all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite and in the visions of Iddo the seer, concerning Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. We've mentioned before that both David and Solomon are types of Christ. Remember, a type is an Old Testament person, place, event, or other item that pictures New Testament truth. So a type is a spiritual illustration. David is a type of Christ, especially in his time of rejection. As David was the rightful king, but not recognized as king until God brought him to the throne, so Christ is the rightful king now, but he is not recognized by the world as king now because he is rejected. But there's coming a day when the Lord will return to this earth in glory, and he will be enthroned as the rightful king over the entire world. Now here, Solomon is a type of Christ. King Solomon is typical of Christ as glorious king, as the king in all his glory. Now see how this type emerges from the verses that we just read, as Solomon's wealth and wisdom are extolled. Look again at verses 22 through 24, for example. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. So it will be in a coming day when our Lord is exalted on this earth as king. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah about this glorious kingdom. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Now do you see how all of these coming realities are pictured in the glorious kingdom of Solomon? King Solomon is typical of Christ in his wealth and wisdom. Now what about practical application? Bring your difficult questions to the Lord. Bring your difficult questions to the Lord. We read in verse 1 that the Queen of Sheba asked King Solomon her difficult questions. And we read in verse 2 that King Solomon answered all of the Queen of Sheba's questions. In view of the spiritual pictures that we've seen in this chapter of the Queen of Sheba as a type of the church and King Solomon as a type of Christ, we certainly can draw this practical application from this chapter. Bring your difficult questions to the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have any difficult questions? About life? About the Bible? About the future? Listen, bring them to the Lord. Now, the Lord may not answer you overnight, and he may answer you in any number of different ways, but he will not leave you groping in the darkness. And you can be sure that his answer will always be in line with his word. The answer may not satisfy all the skeptics, but it will satisfy you and keep you from doubts and allow you to move on in your Christian growth and fellowship with the Lord. So as the Queen of Sheba brought her difficult questions to King Solomon, let us bring our difficult questions to the Lord. Bring your difficult questions to the Lord.